Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the day draws down and the sun begins to set, we kick our shoes off, or boots. Dinner is making us sleepy and we begin finishing our routine for the day, tucking the kids in, making phone calls to our loved ones overseas as their day is just beginning, brushing our teeth, and well, just getting ready for bed. Darkness fills the sky, and we rest. It is good and natural so that our bodies are ready to take on the next day. I guess this does not apply to those of us who work the night shift, of course. But for most of the world, nighttime and darkness means sleep and restoration. And as you sleep, I'll bet you don't dream about Old Testament stories. But I'll bet the prophet Isaiah did. You see, his reality was that a new power, a ruthless power called Assyria, was on the rise in the north. It had already taken control of the land belonging to the tribes Zebulun and Naphtali, which we heard about in our Old Testament reading. The land called Galilee. And the prophet Isaiah had been told by God that this was only a foretaste of what was to come. After centuries of shifting between obedience and disobedience, justice and oppression, faithful service and faithless idolatry, judgment would soon visit the rest of the northern kingdom. God's righteous judgment allowed for their destruction, and anyone who survived would be scattered. And while a remnant or a small group would remain, most would never be heard from again. As the northern tribes fell to the enemy, darkness fell on the entire kingdom. And despite Isaiah's warnings of the same danger of that same Assyrian army, the southern kingdom of Judah would not listen. The people of both kingdoms were living without knowledge of, obedience to, and hope from the one true God. The Jewish people were living in a kind of darkness, a darkness which meant they were distant from God and his message. Instead, they relied on their own ways, even seeking out mediums and people who could raise the dead to seek answers. They were stubborn, and they would not turn back to the God of their fathers. Darkness can have positive and meaningful effects, as I talked about to start. But nothing good happens after midnight, as they say. Unfortunately, darkness is often used to cover and conceal the evil and wickedness of our world. Unlawful organizations and operations operate under the cover of darkness. Obsessive partying and abhorrent behavior never happen or rarely happen during daytime. The illegal part of the internet is called the dark web. And I mean, come on. The losing forces in Star Wars are called the dark side. Darkness is no longer used for what God intended it. Sleep, rest, recovery. Instead, it is now used for the unnatural pleasures ever since sin entered the world. Looking back to the prophet Isaiah, we usually find truths that apply directly to the kings and people of that time, but in the same text, it contains future prophecies. So while it was true that both nations of Israel and Judah were living in darkness, we find that this is also true for people living 700 years later in the same land during the time of Christ. And as we heard in the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, Isaiah's words are told once again. The people living in this region during Jesus' time did not know God. But once John the Baptist had been arrested and Jesus withdrew to this area, something unusual happened. When Jesus walked by the way of the sea beyond the river Jordan, the people living in darkness saw a great light. Those who lived in the shadow of death now had the light of the world shining on them. The people who did not know the one true living God were now suddenly in his presence. And Jesus did not only walk among them, he interacted with them. He spoke directly to them. Jesus Christ, this true man, but also true God, had broken the barrier. He broke the fabric of time and space once he entered human history, our history. Not only does he fulfill prophecies from the Old Testament, going from Isaiah to Matthew, but we also hear that Jesus reacted after John's arrest. His emotion showed his human side. He preached God's eternal message. He is relational and calls people to be fishers of men. He heals diseases and afflictions. And most importantly, he carries the burden of the world on his back. Look to the fourth verse of our Isaiah text, if you may. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his for his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor. These three items are used as tools, one for hard labor, one for protection, and the other for oppression. But for Christ, they are the tools for his mission to the cross. Because in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus tells us, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." In John 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So no wonder why the people who were in darkness had a reason to rejoice. First, a harvest of good news had come to them. Second, that the light of the world drove out the darkness in their lives. And finally, Christ was willing to do the heavy lifting and take the burden from their shoulders and place it on his own. As I talked about with the children, we've only had a handful of days of uninterrupted sunshine this month here in Kaiserslautern, a time when the light was uninterrupted by clouds or fog. And as someone who is not fully educated on the matter, I believe there's something to this seasonal affective disorder, SAD. Life without light is dull, depressing even. It makes for a difficult day when you get out of bed and the sun is far from rising, and returning home from work or chores, and the sun has already set. And we have lived through dark seasons in our life, too. Many of us who have even prepared, knowing that more is sure to come. We're not talking about spring or summertime where there wasn't enough sunshine, but rather times of figurative darkness in our life, times when we felt disconnected, out of touch, hurt, or maybe guilty because we were the offender. Pick your choice. But as Christians who live in this region of literal physical darkness during this time of year, we still have reason to rejoice. We are the people who live with the knowledge of, people who receive hope from, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, are obedient to the one true God. And this knowledge, hope, and help all flows from Jesus Christ. Jesus has done the work, and he has carried each one of our burdens to the foot of the cross. As the yoke of his burden was once heavy, Jesus continued to perfectly hold the shepherd's rod, the shepherd's staff. But the rod of the oppressor, by the rod of the oppressor, he suffered on the cross in our place. As he hung there, the sky grew really, really dark. There seemed to be no hope. It looked like Jesus was defeated. But Jesus is the light of the world, we know. He is the pure, perfect light. And even the deepest darkness cannot overcome him. In fact, in him, there is no darkness at all. So as the stone was rolled away on the Easter morning, light burst forth and shone brightly as it ever had, this time proving Jesus Christ is victorious forever. When we hear the sweet words of the Bible, we find that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light shining on our paths. With our faith in Christ, even during the worst days when the sky seems to be a little bit darker than usual, we know that the light of Christ shines brightly within us. The light of Christ drives out all darkness. So when we walk, no matter where we go, We walk as children of the light. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that, said Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And the Reverend got it right. But I'll clarify one point. It is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can drive out the darkness of this world. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.